So while we were in the States, one of the awesome things about the United States that I like is I like to see new things. I don't like to experience new things. I like to see new things. I've got that exploring side of me, but don't change the color of my bedroom. I've got no desire for change, but I like to explore. There's a part of me. And something that I loved about the States is it's when you get there, you realize, you know, South Africa feels pretty big until you start to drive in America, and then it feels really big. Like, it gets really big really quick, and I've only been twice, but I can tell you that the first time I went, it was like, whoa, and the second time when I went back, and I was like, this place is massive. And I noticed there's this very funny thing, and for any Americans who listen to this, they can relate, is that in California, specifically where we were, even the Americans, all of them, who have not been imported, they live there and have grown up there. When they drive on the freeways and the interstate in America, they use GPS. And I was like, bro, you've lived here 42 years and you still use GPS. And then you drive on the road and you realize why. And so, for example, we were in this little area of California down in SoCal, and then we were driving out towards Mammoth, towards Yosemite, that side. And you get on these freeways, and they're 8-lane freeways. And you're driving on the freeway, and you just see randomly there will be this little turnoff that comes, and then there's another whole 5-lane freeway running next to this freeway, and you can see those cars, and you're almost wondering, like, what is the point of having two freeways right next to each other? But then they slowly drift apart, and eventually that one hooks a short left, and then it's through the mountain, and it's gone. And this happens consistently. You just notice that it's very easily, very quickly to, it's not like there's this hard jolting turn right now and then you're hitting, in South Africa, it's like you're either going north or south or east or west. In America, you can go kind of north for a little while and end up somewhere. In South Africa, it's like you're either going to Bloem or Joburg. That's it. There's nowhere else to stop along the way. That's your stop. That's where you're going. And it was so different then. I saw this and I watched with the GPS and I realized, oh my goodness, it's crazy to think. Do you know what I feel like, and it's something that I want to preach into this morning. I feel like as believers, with the journey of our life and the road that we're on, it's like you can so quickly feel like you're headed in the right direction. You know that the mountain is that way. You're going for it. Next minute, you're kind of gradually off the track. It's not like radical. It's a gradual. You've kind of maybe missed a turn or maybe, and then before you know it, this road is going in the completely opposite direction. And I feel like that's exactly what happens in our spiritual lives. That we can feel like, oh man, it starts with this hot and zealous and passionate. I've got this conviction. This is what God's done for me. It's my radical obedience. It's the way that I worship. It's the way that I'm generous with my finances. It's the way that I'm generous with my life. It's the person that I am. I've got this complete way. And then there's this gradual almost cooling down. And before you know it, it's like you realize I'm not even heading in the same direction that I started 6 months ago. And so over the next few weeks, actually, there's one scripture that I want to break into three parts, and I want to explore every part of it. So today, I just want to give an overview of it. But I want to show us that actually, this is a fundamental part of following Jesus, is the way. It's the road that you'd go, and what about this road, and the characteristics about it, and how that relates to us. And so I wonder if we can turn in our Bibles to Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14. So you can only, just let's reiterate. If you're reading this in a hard copy Bible, it would be in red. And the reason that I put in red is they're saying, these are the words of Jesus. Because I think the downside is when we read anything nowadays, it's somebody's opinion. You read a news article, you could read News 24 or Fox News or BBC or whatever news you read, and that person will give you their opinion on what they're saying. But when you read in your Bible and Jesus says something is the way it is, let me just stop you right there and say, this is not just an opinion. So if you believe something different, you're wrong. You can't go to another source and disprove what he's saying. If Jesus says this is how it is, you have to understand that it's not a perspective. This is the words of life. This is Jesus. Okay. Hey, it's good to see you too. And so Jesus says, just so you know, Son of God came from heaven, from the Father, to earth. If there's one person that knows how to get there, it's the guy who came from there. He's from the area. He's got the zip code for eternal life. He knows how to get there. And so if he comes and he says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is not just a great song. No. The highway to hell is broad. And the gate is wide. Why? Why is the gate wide? For many choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Can I reemphasize a few points? Very narrow. I think we think that, I think we believe this because of the way that we live. I think that we think, if the way is very narrow, I happen to know the way. Because we live quite wide in the way that we live at times. But actually, Jesus is stating it as a fact quite off the bat. The gate to the kingdom of God, the way to eternal life, the way to life is very narrow. Actually, he would go on to say, there's actually only one way. I am the way. There is only one way into the kingdom. And it's not about what you do externally. The gate is a person. It's Jesus Christ. And that's as you believe in him and as you have faith in what he's done and as you accept forgiveness and as you surrender your life to Jesus, you can enter the gate, the narrow way. There's only one way to eternal life and it's through Jesus. There's no other way. There's no other religion. There's no other type of religion. There's no other, you can't get in the back door. You don't know the bouncer who's got a mate who's going to open the back door and let you in. No, there is one way. There's one way. It's Jesus. And the way that he teaches and the way that he commands. That's it. You're like, oh, well, that makes sense. That's why I came to this church. You're supposed to say that. No, guys, I think we say that, but I don't think we believe that because what you believe determines how you live. And if we believe that there is one way, you would live according to that way. Everything else is what you say you believe. Don't tell me what you believe, show me. And the road is difficult. That's a bummer. So can't the gate be narrow but the road be amazing? Like, isn't there a reward for finding the narrow road? Like the narrow gate, there's this small gate, there's only one way to get in. But if I get in, isn't, because that's how we approach Christianity. We're like, okay, Lord, if I pay one little price, then surely after that it's easy. I'll give you my life. I'll come to Christ. I'll raise my hand. I'll do the salvation thing. But then afterwards, surely this should be smooth sailing. Surely it's like a congested toll gate, but then when I get there, it's an 8-line highway, and it's supposed to be God's blessing for my life, and he wants the best for me, and he wants to make me happy, and he wants to make me rich, and he wants to make me successful, and he wants to make me comfortable. But these are the things we ask him for. This is the road that we ask him for. I think so often we come in the gate, and then we obsess over the road. Oh, Lord, I've paid such a price. I've given up my drugs, my friends, my sex, my rock and roll, my good music, my whatever it is. I've paid such a price. I've found the narrow way. Now, could you make the road easy? And Jesus is like, oh, no, didn't you see that from the beginning? It's a narrow gate, and the road is difficult. You're signing up for a free state road, not a Western Cape Road. It's not just going to be difficult at the beginning, and then as you get used to it, it's going to get better and better and better and better, and eventually it's like, no, you're going to need to drive a Hilux for the rest of your spiritual life. Because if you believe this, it affects what we concern ourselves with. I think we concern ourselves with the condition of the road. We're like that lady that lives in your street when there's a pothole. And she's like, hey guys, saw a pothole, phoning city of Cape Town, nah. It's been 1 hour, they haven't got back yet. They better sort out this pothole. And we can be like that with the Lord. Hey Lord, come in the gate. Shucks, there's a pothole right there. Like, wouldn't you sort this out for me? I thought this is what I signed up for. I thought it was give you my life and then you'll give me an abundant life. Like, could you fix the road? Could you fix my finances? Could you fix my relationships? Could you fix my circumstances? Could you give me a job? Could you give me all that I need? Could you? We spend all our time, we phoning Sanrail. We think God is Sanrail. Lord, fix the condition of the road. No. No. The way is narrow. One way. The road is difficult. It's a difficult road. The third part, and only a few find it. Only a few ever find it. It's funny how we're like, yeah, totally, I'm one of them. We naturally assume I'm in the few. I must be right. Because that's how we view the world through ourselves all the time. We read the Bible, we're like, oh, okay, narrow is the gate, road is difficult, few ever find it. Okay, cool. Whew, I'm glad I'm one of the few. Are you? Are we? Because you can feel like you're heading in the right direction. You can be driving on the interstate along the other one. You can be look like you're heading the same direction, but actually that road starts to veer off. And actually, 6 hours down that road, you're not even in the same state. You're not even in the same area. You're in another province. Everyone's like, so glad this angry guy's back. Jesus starts with the broad and the popular road. The default, most people, when you read most or many, start by putting yourself in that category. Most people, the broad gate that leads to destruction with the wide road, that's lacquer. That's so good to say that word again. That road, that's the road that most people will take. But do you know what's at the end of that road? Destruction. Do you know what that road is paved with? Pleasures, comforts, convenience. My way, my things, my stuff, my car, my ride, my toll gate, my things, the life that I want, the life that people give up everything for, the broad road, that's the one that most people go on, and it leads to destruction. That's wild. That's wild. It's wide and easy. It's got no real restrictions. If your faith starts to look like this, it could show you which highway you're on. It's not restrictive. It doesn't have boundaries. It's whatever you think goes. It's my ways. It's my comforts. It's the thing that I want. That's the road that leads to destruction. Where you can take your sin along for the drive, your selfishness, your comfort, your own version of the truth. You can even take your own gospel. I believe in Jesus. I go to church. Well done. Even the demons believe in Jesus. Do you know that? Do you know that in the spiritual realm, there are angels and there are demons and there are demons who are there to administer and serve the kingdom of darkness, and they are real. It's not from a Narnia book. There are real demons really at work in the world that we live in. Don't know why I segued there. But we choose the path because this is what feels right. Oh, it feels, I heard this. I was dealing with a situation. And somebody is busy processing a divorce. And the one person, well, they've gone through a divorce. And the feedback I got from the person is, I felt God's peace in it. I'm like, which God? Which God did you feel his peace in divorce? Definitely a God, but not my father, not the one that I know. I know there is a God of this earth, 100%. But not the one that I know. And so we have to be consistently really real and evaluating, are you following the GPS strictly? The GPS that is showing you, I'm so glad we got a GPS and it's not a map reading thing. That would be, I can't imagine having traveled those roads with a map. I can't. I'd have to have like my wife sitting with her finger on the page as we go, trying to keep speed. Like, babe, slow down. I'm not driving that fast. Like, are you directly following the way that you're being led on the road? Because it's very easy through our own desires, through the life that we want, through our natural, and we've spoken about this many times, you have the world's desires, you have your natural sinful nature, is always going to want to lead you towards certain decisions. You're always not going to want to pay the price. You're always going to want to be comfortable. That's a natural part of being a human. It's part of why we've survived so long as a species. So we seek out safety and comfort. We make it happen around us. We do the same spiritually. We want what's comfortable. I don't want to be stretched. I don't want to be pulled to do the things I don't want to do. I don't want to. No. When it says the road is difficult, it's saying to follow Jesus, there is one way. And it's a way where you continually have to lay down your own things, your own preference, your own desires. You have to pick up what is his. And they are difficult. It is a difficult road to follow Jesus. Who wants to sign up? You should have been, you were tricked because you were supposed to say yes. Because when you know that's what you're in for, you realize this is not about the road. It's about the destination. It's about where the road is leading. It's not about the speed bumps or the potholes or the stones or the rocks or the fact that the road's not graded. It's about where this road leads. This road leads to eternal life. This road leads to eternal joy. This road leads to peace. This road leads to a life without turmoil. This road leads to Jesus. But that'll be a separate preach. One of the characteristics is there is no middle road. It's not wide is the gate for the really bad people. Narrow is the gate for the really radical people. And then there is the middle gate for the rest of us. And it's kind of an in-between. It's not an 8-lane highway, but it's not a dirt path. It's kind of this middle road Christianity where you can kind of do what you want and kind of believe the things of God. You don't have to be as radical as those guys, but you're not as bad as those guys. There's no middle road. There's the one or the other. And you don't get to opt out. You don't get to be like, no, I'm just going to sit at the fuel station. I'm not getting on the highway. I'm just going to wait here. I like it here. They have McDonald's and fuel and a shop. I don't have to go anywhere. No, we're all on. You don't have an option. You're in. Which road are you going to take? Bearing in mind the destination. Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who calls out, again, these are the words of Jesus. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Not those who say, those who do. Not what, and I know this might feel super simple. You are not secured in your salvation by what you say you believe. You're not saved by faith alone in that regard. Ah, you're not. Your faith saves you, but it produces something inside of you. If your faith has no works, it's dead. Then there is no faith. You're not saved by what you say you believed. You're saved by how you live, what you do with your life. It's not enough to have the right intentions. I'm a Christian and I'm trying to follow Him. I feel like I have to take a joke. I'm getting some serious stares. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, but we prophesied in your name and we cast out demons in your name and we performed miracles in your names. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me. You break God's laws. You don't obey. Does obedience save us? Heck no. Why do we obey? Because we love. Why do you stick to the difficult road? Because of where it goes. Because of the person that you want to go to. Amen. Yay. So you see, James 2 verse 17, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. A faith that you say you believe, I say I'm a Christian, I say I'm following God, I say that I love Him, I say that I'll give my life for Him, I say that I belong to Him, I say that His will, it's dead and useless unless it looks like something. So getting to heaven at the end and realizing that you've got a fake ticket. No, but I was told that all I have to do is believe in the name of Jesus and confess my sin. I'm like, hey, guys, that gets you in the gate. Now there's a road to follow. There is a life to lead after coming to Christ. There is a life to live out. It is not enough to say it and hope to one day get there. Faith without this is dead and useless. I don't want a useless faith. Okay. Did I come in hot? Probably should have like preached on the joy of the Lord. Well, here's the clincher. This is the joy of the Lord. Because when you understand the road that you're on, you don't give a damn because it's about where you're going. It's leading to Him. I'm like, I don't care how difficult this road is because I know what's at the end of it. Contextualize that for you. I used to live in the Far East. Not the Middle East, the Far East. The Far East is the East Rand of Johannesburg. Benoni. My stomping grounds. And I had a terrible road between myself and Midrand. At that stage, they were busy building the roads for the FIFA World Cup. So we used to, it's a main highway that goes from the airport to Pretoria. And it is filled with traffic and it dropped down to one lane for like a year and a half while they built it for the World Cup. And was the worst road to drive on. But do you know what lay on the end of that road for me? Daiboki. And so I'd finish work at 4:30, the worst time to get on any road in Johannesburg. And there would be a Samantha who finished work in Midrand. And to go and visit her meant I was going to drive 25 Ks and it was going to take me 2.5 hours. I was working for the church, so I couldn't always do that. So what I would do is I would often, and you can ask her for this, I would finish work, go home, go to a meeting, 8:30, get in my car, drive to her after work, high coffee, bye, drive back home. And I drove this road almost every day to go and see her. But I didn't care about the road. I didn't care about the drive. I didn't care about the traffic because of the person that was waiting for me at the end of the road. I would sing love songs all the way there and heartbreak songs all the way back. the story behind that is the first time I told Sam, I was trying to be super noble. I was trying to be like, I'd read a book, thought I knew what I was doing. I was like, I want to tell you something, but I don't want you to say anything. I don't want you to reply. As a man, I want you to feel secure in the way that I feel about you. So I don't want any answers out of you. But I really did. I did want her to say something. And I was like, I want you to know I love you. This is like the first time I'd ever told anyone I loved them my whole life. And she goes, that's nice. And she was just taking me at my word of like, don't say anything in response. She's like, that's nice. And I got in the car afterwards and she was like, oh, he loves me. And I'm like, no. Like all the way home, like I hate this drama. The point is, what you see at the end of the road makes going on the road, it's not the problem. That's forever. This is for 90 years. I can actually learn to enjoy difficult. Do you know that? That as a Christian, you can know where the road is going and enjoy the difficult road all the way to get there. You can be like the wheels and the bus going. The fuel price is going up 7 rand. Praise the Lord. No, bro, that's one step too far. Something wrong with you. Guys, honestly, do you know what it is? The tighter your finances get, it forces us to lean into Him. Do you notice that when you have so much excess, who's the last person you go to? When things get tighter, what do? You get on your knees. Which one is better for you? Have less, be on your knees. Hopefully you can learn enough that you don't need less to be on your knees. Hopefully. But honestly, the difficulty pushes us towards Him. Don't pray away the hardship. Ask to find Him in it. Because in this life, you are guaranteed a tough time. You are going to get your heart broken. I heard of the engagements this week, and I was like, that's so cool. Part of me just wanted to pop their bubble. I was like, welcome to the most difficult road you're going to do. When two people become one. Oh, it's beautiful and it's roses and there's flowers and it's romantic and it's super cool. Hello, you're about to grind each other to dust. Live with someone. Watch what that does to you. Man, it is. It's beautiful. It's incredible. But is marriage just easy? Yeah, the husbands are like, yeah, of course it is. Yeah. I know you. I know why you're saying that. Marriage is painful. I've opened my... Yeah, the guys are like, can we stay? I don't know. Guys, you don't have to say amen. I get you. I got you. I understand. I will take the silent amens there. I represent my brothers. It is a painful journey. If you're praying for God to make your marriage easy, you're asking Him for the wrong thing. Rather let the road change you. Lord, don't give me an easy marriage. Lord, change me. Help me to be an easy spouse to live with. Not, Lord, save her. I don't know what I did. I didn't know this was what I was marrying. This is yours, Lord. Take her. She belongs to you. No. Let the road choose what type of vehicle you're going to take. Something robust that can go far. Don't come armed with this attitude of like, I'm following Jesus. This is now lekker. It's funny. You do that. You pray. We do the salvation thing. You ask people to respond to the Lord. And then it's like, yes, they respond to Jesus. And then 2 weeks later, they're like, bro, can you pray for me? I don't have a job anymore. You're like, oh, shucks. You know what the problem is? He did choose the narrow gate. Because there is going to be some hardship on this. We're all going to go through hardship. We're all going to go on the narrow road. I hope for us. You're going to have your heart broken. You're going to go through calamity. Some of us are going to face the most devastating things you could ever imagine. I wish I could stand here and preach to you an eternal confidence that and none of you will have hardship. Man, some of you will be bankrupt. Some of you will live a life where you have absolutely nothing at some point. The thing that I hope for any of us that go through anything like that is that you might experience that, but have faith. And that makes you a very rich man. Now, we could lose everything, but gain everything because of our faith. Some of us are going to lose loved ones. Some of us are going to lose our own lives to sickness. The promise is not a smooth road. The promise is a difficult path, but it ends at the foot of the cross. It ends at your destination that you've been wanting. It ends with Him. It ends in eternal life. That's what makes the road worth it. And I'm going to land. Gone too long, sorry. 1 John 2, verse 3 to 4. And we can be sure that we know Him if we obey His commands. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar. And they're not living in the truth. Guys, when I read these scriptures, it makes me sit up straight. This is not me pointing fingers at you. This is, like, guys, this is how I deal with me. Daniel, what road are we going on? Where does this thing end? When you pray for something, what's the end of what you're praying for? A comfortable path or to get to Jesus at the end? John 14, and Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And so I'll take the time. We'll look through those things. I want to talk about why is the road narrow? What are the there is so many other teachings out there that try to make the way wide. It's not wide. There's no hyper grace. There's no, your sin is forgiven. There's no need to repent. I'm going to touch the can of worms and I'm going to touch all of them and I hope that it will bring you back to listen to more. There's theologies out there that are so wide. There's things out there that say you can do and live as you please. No, it's a narrow way. For today, I wanted to bring it to this, that there is no, guys, there's no middle road. We're all on the road. You're either on the difficult road that leads to life at the end, or you're on the highway to hell. And I don't live in an unsure space in regards to God and my salvation. What I believe about Him is this: God is faithful. He does everything on His side. Do you know the person that I don't trust? Do you know who's the one that's not inherently faithful? Do you know who's the one that walks off the road? Do you know who's the one that gets swept up in a whole nother way and before I know it, I find myself fighting for my life and this and I forget about that? This guy. And I think there is a moment for all of us to consistently be evaluating. Lord, you might have come through the gate. You might have, but the gate is narrow. But then there is a road to walk. What road are we living on? And you can tell which road you're living on by the decisions that you make. Has my radical obedience slowly cooled and become something far more nominal? You don't get radical Christians. You think that with other religions. You're like, oh yeah, you get that kind, then you get the radical kind. No, you don't. You get one type of Christian. That's it. And you tell me, if he comes into your life and he removes your sin and your shame and he separates it from you and he saves you and he sets you free and he gives you an ability to live differently and he gives you a family and he gives you everything you didn't deserve, how are you going to live? It's radical. Because it's radical what he's done for us. I don't have a nominal faith of like, I love God. No, it's, I follow him. I'm living my life to get to the end. It's not that I love God. He's in the car with me. We're going on this highway. No, it's, man, there is a goal of my life. And the irony is that it's not that Jesus is standing at the end of the road waiting. It's when you come in the narrow gate, he gets in the car with you. And he drives with you the entire way. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll be with you. He puts the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised him from the dead. That Spirit lives inside of you. It's the Holy Spirit. That Spirit has fruit that when he's living inside of you and you're following him and you're making the right calls and you're doing the best inside of yourself while having faith inside of him, it produces a fruit of your life that you have love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. These things come out of you because the Spirit of God is living in you, that the fuel price goes up, but you don't care.
Amen. Come on.
Because you're living for something greater. It sucks, but so what?
Amen. Yeah.
The world can shake. It's going to shake. There's going to consistently be wars and rumors of wars and nations and fuel prices and Temu import prices. Your Temu orders, I'm going up. I'm sorry. And these things will happen. But when you're traveling with Jesus, you can go through anything on any road because you know where he's taking you. And I think sometimes we lose perspective of that and we end up living our lives saying like, oh Lord, would you fix the pothole, please? No, Lord, don't fix the pothole, fix the car. Help me to get through a pothole. Tony, I wonder if you can... Can we stand together? So I'd love to... We're going to take the next few weeks and just look at this, the narrow road, the theologies, the winds, the waves of doctrine, the few find it, the difficult to follow. How do we live in difficult circumstances while having cheer in our hearts and faith and... all of these things. But this morning, it starts with this. Like, can you, where you are right now, can you just stop the car and look at the road around you? Like the decisions of your life, the way that you're living, the things that you're praying for, the things that your emotions are tied to, is the road that you're on at the moment, is that the road that leads to eternal life? Or is that broad road where your desires are leading your decisions? Well, I want that, so that's what I'm going to do. Or I need that. Or I... Man, and I think as believers, we need to constantly reevaluate. Maybe you've climbed, and it's honestly, sometimes it's with, you have great intentions. You're like, I have every intent to want to get there. I'm aiming for the same place. I'm not saying any one of you is like, oh no, I actually want to go to hell. It's not what I'm saying. I think we have the purest intentions at times. Like I said, Lord, we said. I think you've just got to stop and look at times. Like, Lord, what road am I on with my life? Am I on the non-existent middle road? I thought there was another road that went the nominal, the easy way. But I also wanted to get to life. No, man. And so I think there's something for all of us as believers, just to weigh up our hearts again. Like, Lord, I'm committed to the difficult road. I'm committed to the narrow gate because it leads to eternal life. But then there's some of us this morning that it's obvious for you that it's not the narrow road. It's the broad road and it leads to destruction. You can have everything that you want in this life and you can feel hollow and empty and dead. And this morning, there's an opportunity for us to come to the narrow gate, to actually choose to come and go through the narrow gate and follow the difficult road. And so I wonder if we can bow our heads. If you're new here, that's church code for please stop looking around at everybody. This is about you and Jesus right now. It's not about anybody else standing around trying to look at you. The only reason I want this is because I want you to come to Him. I want you to come to Jesus. I want you to come through the narrow gate. But I'd love to ask this morning, maybe if you've never chosen to go through the narrow gate and the difficult road that leads to the Lord, you don't even know what that fully means right now. But maybe you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. You've never lived as a Christian. You've never followed Jesus. Or maybe you have gone through the narrow gate. You've had a moment of faith. You've had a moment of response, but you are not living according to that. You're living on a wide road that leads to destruction. You're living like you did before you served Jesus. You would know because you live out everything that you want, you desire. There's sin in your life is abundant. You don't withhold pleasure. But if there's anyone this morning, if you want to either respond to, I've never given my life to Jesus, or I want to recommit my life. Lord, I want to take the next turn off to get back onto the road, the difficult one that leads to eternity. I want to follow you. I want to recommit my life to you. And so if there's anyone, we're going to start there this morning. If there's anyone that wants to do that, I wonder if you could raise your hand with me right now. I just want to pray with you. I want to ask the Lord to come and help you and enable you. This is not about you having to manufacture anything. This is about a surrender point. It's saying, God, I want you. I want to surrender to you. If there's anyone like that, I wonder if you could raise your hand right now. I see that hand. I see that hand. Don't be ashamed, man. This is like, hey, would you choose life today? Is anybody else? I see those two people who've responded. Can we pray together? Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, my good intentions are not enough. I want to follow you. Give you my life. Would you forgive me? I need a Savior. Would you set me free? I want to follow you with my life. Would you save me? Would you help me? I want to be on the narrow gate. Father, I pray that as those who've prayed that with faith this morning, faith that you can remove sin. Lord, I pray that this morning it won't just be words and what we say. It would culminate in an action and a lifestyle. Lord, that we wouldn't be Christians in what we say. We'd be followers of Jesus in the way that we live our lives. That it would reflect in the desire that we have for our lives, in the things that we come before you with. I'm not this guy, so I want to remind you this morning. And there is a stirring in my heart. There's something that the Lord's been speaking to me over the last few weeks, and I want to say this to you guys. Don't assume there's a tomorrow. Don't assume that you've got your whole lifetime to get this right. Don't assume that I'm just going to go on the highway and then I'll take the last little turn off and I'll just take a little piece of the narrow road before I get to heaven. I want to tell you now, you don't know. This life can be over in a moment. Don't do it. This way of living leads to destruction. I want to warn you. It leads to destruction. And most people, when it says many, most people will choose that way. Don't be one of them. Please, please, follow Jesus. There's life in it. There's life at the end of the road. Choose Jesus. Choose Him now. Choose Him tomorrow. Choose Him the next day. Choose to follow Him every day. Don't become nominal. Don't look for the middle road. Don't find theologies that give you a middle road. Lord, I pray that even into this week, that we would have the guts to be introspective enough to really evaluate my life and where it's heading and where I'm going and what's happening. Lord, I pray that we'd ever, would you open our eyes, like we see in the New Testament, that we would open our eyes to see the truth of who we are and the way that we're living and where it leads to. Because Jesus, we want to follow you. We want to follow you with our lives. We want to lay our lives down for your sake. We want to live for your glory and your kingdom. Man, and for the rest of us, I felt like maybe that picture of us driving in America, and then you find yourself, you thought you were just in another lane, and now that road is actually separated even further than what you thought it was. And I feel like for some of us as believers, there's like a correcting of our heart where we need to be like, oh Lord, I need to get back. I'm so sorry. Like, I want to, like, thank you for opening my eyes, but I know that I need to make an adjustment. I wonder if where we are, we can just raise our hands together. Like, Lord, would you help me to reorient my life again? Would you help me to see exactly, actually, you, Holy Spirit, would you show to us? We know what it is. Like, guys, hidden sin, hidden behavior, addictions. You know the stuff. Lord, would you help us? We want to follow you. We want to serve you with our lives, but we know that our good intentions are not just enough, but we know that it's because of that, that you have your grace and your mercy and your kindness. And so we know that when we come to you and we say, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent, that you're so willing and you're so happy to restore us, to redeem us. And so, Father, I pray that right now for every single one of us, that it's as so simple as saying like, oh Lord, I'm sorry. I want to follow you. That you remove it from us. That as you say, Lord, would you take this sin from me? And in your heart, say exactly what that is to him. Lord, I'm sorry for this thing. You know what it is. I'm sorry where this thing is causing me to go astray. Don't live for this life. Don't live for the now. Lord, I thank you that you are faithful to forgive. I thank you that your name is Yahweh. You're the faithful one. That when we repent to you, we are forgiven. That we get to live like a new creation. We don't have to have any shame or any regret or any sense of, oh, I'm still... No, you remove it from us like our sin is from the east, is from the west. You remove our sins from us. So I pray with that, that you would remove the power of sin. Where maybe we've given into weeks-long behavior of addictive behavior that shaped the way we're even thinking. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, by your power, would you cut that thing off? Would you rewire the way that we think and speak and say? But Holy Spirit, I pray that you would guide us like that GPS, that we would know turn for turn the way to go. Exactly how to follow. And so Lord, I pray for every single one of us that you would come and build a sense of faith and courage and even an excitement for the road ahead. I pray that it wouldn't be like, oh no, it's a difficult road, but like, oh yes, this is the road that I want to be on. I want to follow Jesus. I want the adventure. I want the mountainous route. Come Holy Spirit. So we're just going to respond in a song of worship where we are, and then we'll land. But as you do, just, I want to say, when something like this comes, if you hear something like this and you feel in your heart that you need to adjust, I want to tell you right now that those who hear the word and do, like if the Lord has spoken to you, take that in worship. Be like, Lord, I want to repent of this exact thing. I want to bring it to you. Would you forgive me? Would you help me? Would you encourage me? But if you don't appropriate this, you'll feel distant from what I'm saying. It would just be a moment. You want this to not be a moment. You want this to be something that affects the way you live forever. And so as we do that, we're going to worship. And as you respond in song, say that in your heart. Say that out to the Lord. Lord, I want to follow you. I want to choose you and your ways and what you're saying to me.